God is awesome. All the time. Praise God. Look at somebody and tell him it's wonderful to be in the house of the Lord on Easter morning. Sorry to say Christmas morning. Of course, it is Christmas for a lot. Look, it is Christmas. Christmas and Easter because God gave me a gift. I don't know about you. God gave me a wonderful gift. I did hear a bad, very bad story. I think it was the American Associated Press. Told about this story. So y'all need to be on guard and look for yourself about things that are happening around you. How many know we got to look around us and know what's happening around us? Especially this day of terrorism and all this. I said a man was blissfully driving along the highway when he saw the Easter bunny hopping across the middle of the road, and he swerved to avoid hitting the bunny, but unfortunately the rabbit jumped in front of his car and it was hit. The basket of eggs went flying all over the place. Candy went all over the place too. The driver, being a sensitive man as well as an animal lover, pulled over to the side of the road and got out to see what had become of the bunny carrying the basket. Much to his dismay, that colorful bunny was dead. The driver felt guilty and began to cry. And a woman driving down the highway saw the man crying on the side of the road and pulled over, and she stepped out of her car and she asked the man what was wrong, and he said, "I feel terrible." He said, "I accidentally hit the Easter bunny and killed him. There may not be an Easter because of me. What should I do?" The woman said, told the man not to worry, so she knew exactly what to do. So she went to her car, opened the trunk, and pulled out a spray can. She walked over to the limp, dead bunny and sprayed the entire contents of the can with that little furry animal. Miraculously, the Easter bunny came back to life, jumped, picked up the spilled eggs and candy, and waved its paw at the two humans and hopped down the road. And every 50 yards, the Easter bunny would stop, turn around, and wave. Then he'd hop down another 50 yards, and he'd stop, and he waved. Another 50 yards, he stopped, and he waved until he got out of sight. The man was astonished, and he said to the woman, "What in heaven's name did you spray on that bunny?" She turned around and showed him the can. The label said, "Hairspray restores life to dead hair." Adds permanent wave. All righty then. Praise God. Y'all look around, look at each other, and tell somebody how good they're looking, even if you got to say, "Lord, forgive me later." God is so good. Now today is a special day, and today is going to be, you know, normally we have all these big dramas, or we had Joseph's communion or Mary's communion. We've had all these things over the years, and so today, just for something different, we're just going to have a sermon. Isn't that cool? Just a sermon. Well, let me tell you something. Look at somebody and say, "There's never just a sermon." That's right. You'll find out later. Amen. Easter. Just as if I'd never done it. That's the power of the cross. How many knows the power of the cross? The true power of the cross is, no matter how bad you've been, once the cross is applied to your life, you're justified. He just sang it. Justified. Crucified, justified. It's just as if you'd never done it. Praise God, because there's a lot of things in my life I wish I had never done. And I thank God that he took the penalty away just as I'd never ever done it, and I thank him for that. But sometimes I don't think we really realize the power of the cross and the power of what's going on. So that, I want us to read first. I want us to read Isaiah chapter 6. You got your Bible, stand. Let's read this chapter. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. Stand for the reading of the word. God is awesome. All the time. Look at somebody and tell them you're not here by accident today. Say you're in God's plan. And I thank him for it. Amen. Now we got everybody on this side, so the building starts to tilt a little bit. Some of y'all go ahead and volunteer to get over there. Just play. I love it. Y'all keep on. Yeah, y'all can slide down too. That's right. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. Isn't God so awesome? You know, because there's been some Easters that we about froze to death. Nobody's going to freeze to death today. Amen. I don't even have the scripture up there, but it's up there. You'll see it in a minute. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. "In the year King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings, and twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth, and he said, Lo, this has touched thy lips. Thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then I said, Here I am. Send me. Father, let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace, your mercy. I thank you, God, that you're alive and well and on the throne. I thank you, God, that, Lord, although other people are serving other gods today, you're the only one that is standing by an empty tomb. You're the only one that's standing alive after facing death. You are the only one, Lord, that has our best interests in heart. And I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you, God, also that you took the fall for us. And I also thank you, Lord, that we can no more be like you than the time we take a fall for somebody else when they can't do it on their own. I thank you for that too, Lord. I thank you for this day. I thank you, God, for every person here. And I ask you, Lord, to touch our hearts and minds. In the name of Jesus, we love you. And we praise your name. And the church said, Amen. You be seated on the way down. Tell somebody, if you're not here after what I'm here after, you'll be here after I'm gone. Tell them. Justified, never done. Justified. That's what it says. The cross justified us. Justified. That's how I like to give a simple definition of justified. I can give you a long theological explanation, but the quickest and the easiest and the greatest of explanations is justified, never done it. Isn't that cool? It's the only place on earth that you can go back and start over again. Amen. You know, like all y'all guys with gray hair, inside of us is a teenager going, what happened? I mean, it was just yesterday. We were teenagers. And now, look at us. Praise God. And so let's just look at this now. Isaiah had this vision. And in this vision, he sees an empty throne. Of course, and so here it is. He sees this empty throne. And it's at a point of crisis in his life. Because King Uzziah had died. Now, this king had reigned over a half a century. And because this king had reigned over a half a century, this king provided some awesome stuff for the people. He had actually provided emotional stability, spiritual stability, financial stability, governmental stability. This guy had really been a good guy. But then he gets sick. He kind of messes up at the end. He gets sick and he dies. But now, here it is. Isaiah is at a point of decision. There's some of you here today. You're not here by, all of you are not here by accident, but there's some of you in here today, you're at a crisis in your life. And because you're at a crisis in your life, you don't even realize that you're actually at a point of decision. You have to decide, am I going to focus on the crisis, or am I going to focus on the cross? It's so easy to focus on the crisis, especially when things are upside down, when things are going wrong, when it seems that the world is just falling down among you and apart, you're falling apart in the middle of it. It's easy to focus on the crisis. But it's at this time when God is speaking the loudest, although you can't hear it because all that's going on around you. I discovered something in my life, especially in the last year. You can hear God speak the loudest in the dark. Let me do that one more time. Some of y'all in dark places in your life. Yeah. You're wondering why the lights are out. You're wondering what happened to the big lights. What happened to all the fun? I'm in the dark, God. Do you see me? I'm in the dark and I don't even know what to do. And I can hear him the loudest then because the distractions are taken out of the way. I can focus on God. And so here he is. Are you going to focus on the crisis or are you going to focus on the God of the crisis? That's pretty powerful. So let me just put this here. God initiated contact. You see, in this story we're reading right here, and we're going to tie it into the cross, God offers us a relationship of unconditional love and grace. Did you know that? God offers it to us. He brings it to us. He brings a lot to the table. We don't have to go hunting for it. It's there. Matter of fact, you know, God created us in His image. And because God created us in His image, we are designed for relationship. And we were designed for relationship with God. And because we're designed for relationship with God, nothing else will do. Not a $25,000 Rolex watch. Not a brand new Corvette. None of that's going to do, because I see people that get stuff and they're miserable. The only difference now is they're miserable and they got stuff that makes them miserable and they're broke. Stuff cannot fill the void in your heart that God has placed there for Him. So the central theme of the Bible is God calling us back to get us back in focus. He'll allow things to happen in your life to get you back in focus. He'll allow things in your life that is above and beyond you, that is above and beyond your wisdom to settle and to figure out, above and beyond your strength and your ability to work it out. He allows these in your life. He leaves you in the dark places because He wants you to focus on the God of the crisis, not the crisis. For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. Wow, that is such an awesome thing. Now, after He initiates His contact, I want to show you something now. Let's see what's going on here. First, the Bible says that Isaiah actually recognized his own condition. So he's turning to the God of the crisis versus just the crisis. He knows the crisis is bad. He knows the people are bad. He knows things are going on. But this man here is a great statesman. Isaiah is probably the Billy Graham of that day. Isaiah would be the T.D. Jakes of that day. Isaiah would be the man, if you say, tell me about a holy man, it'd be Isaiah. He's the man. Not only did he handle state affairs, he handled godly affairs. So he had the ear of the king, possibly the cousin of the king. So he has all this stuff at his side. But now he actually says, I'm undone. I'm stricken dumb. Wow. Here's the man with a plan. But he sees the plan is all out of the way. He doesn't know anymore what to do, because what he thought was going to be here tomorrow is not here. What he thought would be here today is not here. And so now he's going to have to back up and punt. He doesn't know what to do. And so as he begins to see God in His holiness versus Uzziah in his unholiness, as he was comparing himself to Uzziah, he was a bad dude. But when he compared himself to God, he saw things a little different. I'm just going to give you the scripture, and I want you to see something here. Let's see the scripture here. How many have ever heard this scripture? We are always an unclean thing. All our righteousness is as filthy rags. Now, the regular church folks have heard this lately. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. That word filthy rags has a double meaning in the Hebrew. And I'm not being gross. I'm just giving you the exact what the Hebrew says. If you don't believe me, go look it up later on. There's two things it means. First, it means at the gate, when lepers came into the gate, they were not allowed to touch anything. They had to stay back 20, 30, 40 yards and holler, unclean, unclean, unclean. But when they walked into the city, there were rags at the gate, and they had to wipe their sores and their hands on these rags. The rags were attached just so they could wipe themselves before they went in. That's one of the meanings of filthy rags. Our righteousness. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. The second word for it is, and don't get upset, because this is what it is. Back in that day, the ladies did not have the convenience of Procter & Gamble. And so they just had rags. And when they were on their menstrual cycle, they would take these rags, and as they were riding down the road, they would just throw them out of the road, throw them out on the other side of the road. And they would just lay there. The sun would bake down on them. And can you imagine what a filthy mess that was on the side of the road? And God said, your righteousness, all that you can do on your own is like those menstrual rags that have been discarded and thrown on the side of the road and beat with the heat from the day. Wow. Maybe I can do a little bit different than that. See. Since I looked in the mirror this morning, because I don't normally wear a coat anymore like this. I put the coat on, I looked in the mirror, and I said, I said, if God had anything any better in heaven, he kept it for himself. Look how good I look. Man, I'm looking so good. I don't look good. Lost weight, I'm styling and profiling. Man, I'm looking so hot right now. Woo! I'm looking good. Matter of fact, some of y'all wish y'all could look this good. Yeah. So if I could look any better, I don't know what. Wow. I thought it was all that in a bag of chips. And when God sees me in my own righteousness, in the filth of my own righteousness, wow. You know, Isaiah, that's what he saw. He was a bad dude. He was looking good. And then he sees this. And when he sees this, he says, I got no excuses. I got nothing good to say about this. Lord, he says, I am undone. And he says, I'm polluted. I have unclean lips. See, the Bible tells us we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
That the Lord is all we do. Can't go without him. Can't feel my feet. Who am I that the bright morning star shoots the light away? Oh, my heaven won't be far. Not because of what I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am flying with these feet. Here today and gone tomorrow, wave tossed in the ocean. A vapor in the wind to you, hear me when I'm calling. Won't you catch me when I fall? Can you show me who I am? And who am I that the eyes of seeing see? Look on me with love. Watch me rise again. Who am I that the voice that calls to see? To call out to the rain. The storm is storming in me. Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower with living faith. You today and tomorrow, the way belongs in the ocean. People in the wind steal you, and hear me when I'm calling. Would you catch me when I'm dangles. Who shall I be? Who shall I be? Not in your home, not in your
Wow, praise God. This Easter, it makes about, I don't know, 5 years ago. I think it was 5 Easters ago. I was on the way the week before Easter to do a wedding out here. And on the way to do a wedding, a man crossed the center lane. And I was going 55, maybe between 55 and 60. And he was going 55 or 60. And he hit me head on, killed the guys. Then he hit the person behind me and maimed them, tore up three vehicles, crushed them all to pieces, and I walked away. And when I walked away, somebody asked me, said, the patrolman came up and said, you should be dead, son. And I said, God had this. And I remember, I kept asking because I was still in my mind. I still got a concussion, and I was still hearing that swoosh, swoosh, swoosh. And my body had been hit. The car had hit my side. My side was bruised up, and I was trying to get my side back together, and I was trying to get my head back together. And I kept asking, what was that bright light? What was that bright light? What was that bright light? And nobody could answer me. And I'm in the hospital. I kept asking the doctor and kept asking the state patrolman to come in. And I asked my wife, and I said, what was that bright light? And they said, what bright light are you talking about? I said, before the car hit me, before it ever hit me, I saw the most brilliant flash of light. And then within seconds, the car hit me. I saw the car coming. It was in my lane. And I was trying to figure out what's going on with this car in my lane. Which way was it going? And about that time, because I was going 55, 60. He was going 55 and 60. And he was in my lane. And about this time, I saw this brilliant flash of light. And then I got the hardest hit I've ever had in my life. Went 190 feet in the road, spinning. My wife looked over at me and said, you big dummy. Said, that was an angel. The angel stood and said, not today. And he cupped me and protected me. The next day I was riding to church. And as I rode by the spot where all those people were killed and all this stuff was going on and where I got hit, as I pulled right there, all of a sudden that song started playing. I just pulled over to the side of the road and wept. The power of God. God can take your worst circumstance and protect you and bring you through it. Amen? So here it is. God initiated the cleansing. He goes and the Bible says in verse 5, he said, I said, woe is me, I'm undone because I'm a man of unclean lips and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then the Bible says, then flew one of the seraphims to come and took the coals off the altar. See, whoever trusts God, you're going to not perish, you're going to have everlasting life. Now, God's not going to force you to accept it, but Satan can't stop you. Listen carefully. God's not going to force you, and Satan can't stop you. And as you think about this thing, wow, your acceptance to God changes everything. The Bible says, Romans 3:24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You have to accept it. You know, I began to look at this live coal and I said, well, how can I connect this live coal with redemption? And then it hit me. Man, it hit me. And I want you to think about this now. I want you to think really hard about this now. This is that live coal. Watch this. A coal requires, watch this, death. It requires a death. It requires not only a death, it requires pressure. Then it requires a burying in this pressure. And then it requires a digging up. And then it brings heat and it brings life. Now I want you to think about, well, listen, I want you to think about Calvary. Think about it when we talk about this thing now. Look, that live coal represents Calvary. ever since Calvary's death, because the pressure before, during, and after that was on Jesus. And then they buried him, and on the third day he resurrected. And then watch this, he brought heat, he brought life, he brought hope. But you've got to accept it, amen? You've got to accept what God did for you. I like what he said on the Isle of Patmos. He said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and amen, I have the keys of death in hell. Isn't that an awesome thought? So watch this. But you listen now. He does the cleansing. And watch this. Here's how he does it. Look. There's a book, a Jewish work, called the Zophar. And let's go back to Exodus for a minute. Exodus says, in Exodus 28 and 33, that the robe that the high priest wore had bells and pomegranates. Bells and pomegranates, bells and pomegranates, bells and pomegranates. And the bells and pomegranates even drug the floor. Now, the Jewish work, the Zophar, tells us this. It says that the high priest actually took a knot, a rope of gold, and hung it on his leg for fear that he would die in the Holy of Holies, because his sacrifice was not sufficient before he made sacrifice for the people. And so they put a gold rope on the priest's leg. So if he weren't accepted and he died in the back, they could pull him out. Wow. I'm sure glad I ain't got to wear one of those things. I hate to think when y'all had to drag me out of the sanctuary sometime with a gold rope on my leg. I hate to think I had to drag some of y'all out of here. Amen. We could drag some in here. Just thinking out loud. So I see us. Hebrews. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Yes. God is so awesome. There we go. What do I do? I'm unclean. I'm undone. What do I do? How do I get out of the mess I'm in? Jesus, I'm sorry for the mess I've made. And Jesus, I need you to do a new work in my life. I need you to cleanse me of all my unrighteousness. I need you to do a work in me that I can't do on myself. I need you to do something for me that I cannot do alone. I've got to have you to do this. I'm unable by myself. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Lord.
Worthy is the Lord, and everyone's slain, born of holy is he. Sing a new song, to hear this in song, heaven's mercy sing.
Thank you, Father.
Holy, 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 Lord, oh God Almighty, who was and is to come.
With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
King of kings, you are my everything, and I will adore you. Praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything. I will adore you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Praise God. I want you to see something. The cross revealed, looking at the cross, revealed me. And looking at the tomb changed me. Wow. When I look at what Jesus did, when I see what He did for me, He carried that cross for me. All the things He did for me, He took the fall for me. I saw myself as I was. You know, I have somebody in my family that's telling me all the time, I just tell it like it is. And I told him one day, I said, no, you tell it like you see it. I said, only Jesus knows how it is. You just tell me how you see it. I said, I can tell you how I see it too. That's fine. I said, but only Jesus can tell you how it is. When you see the cross, then you see how it is. When you go to the empty tomb and you let Jesus touch you, wow. Just if I'd never done it, all my sins are at the cross. Come on now. All my sins are at the cross. All my filthy rags are at the cross. All my battered hopes and dreams are at the cross. Praise God, there's life in Jesus Christ. There's life in Jesus Christ. As if I had never done it. Thank God that I can restart. How about you? How many is a restart in here? Amen. Quit pointing to somebody. Raise your own hand. One of the wives grabbed her husband's hand while I go with. God initiated the calling. See, God does the work. We have to respond. It's like Fox News. He reported, we decide. Amen. And when he saw, watch this, he looked up and he saw God as he was. He looked in and he saw himself as he was. He looked out and he saw others as they are. Let me just ask you a question. What would happen next, just next week, not next Easter, next week, what would happen if everybody in here rescued one? One. The church would double next week. And can you imagine what the angels would be doing up in heaven? We have some awesome praise and worship here, but it's nothing compared to what they got in heaven. Amen. I'll go ahead and play something. Just as I'd never done it. Just as I'd never done it. Wow. Thank God for a restart. Thank God for a reset. Everybody, please stand. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Not trying to embarrass anybody, I'm just going to ask. Is there anybody here this morning that would say, Pastor, I do not know Jesus Christ in the full pardon of my sins. My life looks like that shirt, and I need God to help me. With nobody looking around, every eye closed. I'm not going to call you out. I just want you to raise your hand and say, pray for me, Pastor. Touch them, Lord. Touch them right now. Maybe you're here right now, and up until this point, you felt like you had it all together. But after you look at the cross and what Jesus done, and you realize you're at a point of crisis, and probably because you helped inspire the crisis. Maybe you didn't, but you're in it. And now you see what you do is not able to fix it. I can't fix it. I cannot fix this. Everything I try to do is wrong. I need God to help me get beyond me and fix this. Nobody looking around, every eye closed. Would you put that hand up and say, I need God to help me fix this? Touch them, Lord. Touch them, Lord. Touch them, Lord. Hands all over the building. Help me, Lord, to get beyond this. Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, all those that raised a hand or wanted to and didn't, I ask you, Lord, to bless them right now, Father. Help them get beyond them. Help them get beyond their own ability. Help them get beyond their own strength, their own wisdom. I ask you, God, right now, Lord, to help them to see you and you as the God of the crisis that they're in. Get their eyes off the crisis. Get the eyes on you and watch what'll happen. Maybe you're here today and you just want to come pray. Whatever. If you raise your hand, didn't, and you just want to come pray. It's Easter Sunday. What a day to pray. All that will come get in this altar and pray. It's not even 12 o'clock yet. It's 11:30. Wow. All that will, come and pray. All that will, come and pray. And he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. As we tarry there, none other has ever known. None other has ever known. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank God. Thank God, y'all. Go ahead. Let's thank Him for what He's done for us. God is awesome. All the time. Amen. I'd like to invite everybody that will. If you don't have a church home of your own, come back and be with us next week. We have a good time. Also, Tuesday nights we're doing what we do. Eddie says, how do you say it on Sunday morning? We have potatoes and steak, but on Tuesday nights we have sirloin, something like that, because we're doing some heavy-duty subjects, and we've been doing phobias. If you got a phobia, I don't know if you know what a phobia is, but a phobia is an unrealistic response to a stimuli, to something that you see, something that actually is the size of an acorn, but all you see is an oak tree, and it just tears you up. And it's kind of got a phobia and PTSD kind of go together hand in hand, although one's aggressive and one's non-aggressive. Still, you've got these things. And if you know somebody that's like that and you know they need some help, come on Tuesday nights and get some of this stuff and carry it back to them. Also, if you got it, come on out here and get some of it, because it's been awesome stuff. Awesome, awesome stuff. We only got a couple weeks of that and we're going to go to something else, but it's really been very beneficial. And matter of fact, it's been one of the most beneficial lately. So I've been very pleased with God, what He does. We ought to be pleased with Him all the time. Amen. But especially when He shows up and shows off, it's awesome. Amen. And y'all are a wonderful looking crowd. Try and look at how pretty y'all are. Try and look at how pretty you are. I know you don't want to look at somebody and go, "You're pretty." No, I didn't say that. I just said try and look. You ain't got to say anything. Please, if I fact, don't say anything, I'm probably better off. Brother Steve.
Father God, we just praise You and love You, Lord. And we just thank You for what You did for us on the cross. Lord, the things that we had in our life, we could not correct. But Lord, You took care of that. And Lord, we just give You honor and glory and praise for it all. And just thank You so much. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen and amen.